start. I'm going to record this. I'm going to welcome people listening on the podcast to our Wednesday night experience, the Big Book, and we're on the 10th step tonight. The 10th step, you may say, well, you're new. What does that have to do with me? Well, the 10th step is where we try to live each day in peace with ourselves, God, and the world around us so we don't have to drink. And if we don't learn how to live sober and in peace with ourselves, God, and the world, then we're going to drink. And step 10 is how you live one day at a time, how you live in the now with God. And so I really don't think it's too soon to start step 10, you know, tomorrow. You can read it, you can meditate on it, and then you can get with your sponsor. It really helps to do steps 4 through 9. It makes step 10 more real. But it's never too soon to start trying to live the spiritual life. And so this book has directions on how to do that. And it starts on page 84. Now, has anybody ever been to a meeting where they read the promises? Anybody ever heard the promises? They're really good, aren't they? And those are the 9th step promises. And they come before step 10. So if you work step 4 through 9, the 9th step promises, and you've all heard them, are what they're saying is that you are now in the world of the Spirit. You are with God. You have done enough work to destroy your self-centeredness and to face and be rid of the things that were blocking you from your Creator. And now you can begin to live each day with Him or her, however you understand it. And so we, the first paragraph on step 10 is on page 84, and we did a whole meeting on that, and it tells you basically what you do all day long to stay undisturbed. Now last week I read from the 12 and 12 on the spiritual axiom that says if I'm ever disturbed, there's something wrong with me. Anybody like that? I didn't like it when I heard it, but then I said, well, you know, it's true. If you're disturbed at all, there's something wrong with you. And what's wrong with you is you're disturbed. And the reason you're disturbed is because you're in self, and you're in self-centeredness, and you're not connected to God. So disturbance means you're not connected with your Creator, and you're back in self-centeredness. Now, how do you get undisturbed? Well, you change the way you see whatever disturbed you. And you do that by getting centered back with God and seeing it differently. And we used to live disturbed all the time, and then we blame everybody else for us being disturbed, and our lives didn't work well. Anybody ever do that? And so I'm going to connect the how we live each day at a time and with the spiritual axiom, because tonight we're going to read the recovered promises. Have you ever heard them read at a meeting? No. But the recovered promises are in step 10. And it says, after you've done steps 4 through 9 and the 9th step promises are coming through true for you, you're now living in the world of the Spirit. And the world of the Spirit in step 10 is where you continue to set right any new mistakes in thinking. I'm on the second paragraph on page 84 as you go along. Now, they're not talking about if you drive too fast, or they're talking mistakes in your thinking, in the way you see things. And you want to correct them so you don't live on wrong thinking and wrong beliefs. And it says you vigorously commence this way of living as you cleaned up the past. And we clean up the past in steps 4 through 9. So you enter the world of the Spirit. Now, where is the world of the Spirit? Anybody ever see a sign on the highway? It says world of the Spirit. Anybody see that? The world of the Spirit is right now you and your Creator. Right this moment. And you're not in anger in the past. You're not in fear in the future. And if you're in the world of the Spirit, then you have God's power right at that moment. And when you have God's power, you have a power to live. And guess what else you have? You have a power to not drink. And remember, we didn't have a power to live. We were powerless. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. That's what the book says on page 45. It says we had to find a power by which we could live. And it's the book tells you that it gives you specific directions to find that power, and that power we call God. So by step 10, you found this power, so you have a power to live. So you're in the world of the Spirit. And you want to grow in understanding and effectiveness of God's role for you in the world of the Spirit. And it says it's a lifetime continue for a lifetime. So you're going to continue to do that. Now, if you're in the now, I don't know about you, but let's say you're me. I know you don't want to be. But let's say you're me, and you're in the world of the spirit, and you get up and you're good. You're right with God. Anybody do that?
Yep.
Right in the moment. But it says, continue to watch. I'm in the world of the spirit, but I'm going to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. In other words, I'm going to watch now for when this thinking comes up that's going to separate me from God in the now. Now, I can do that because I've done steps 4 through 9, and I know when my thinking gets off. Now, how do I know it? I'm disturbed. You see how it all relates? I'm disturbed because I'm beginning to separate from God, and I'm bothered by what I see. And we're going to learn that what we want to do is when we see things that bother us or disturb us, we want to stop and say, it's just what's happening. And then we don't put a label on it, and then we ask God to help us see it so we can take a different attitude towards whatever's happening. And it says, you're going to continue to watch for these things, and when these crop up. So I'm in my day. I'm trying to be in the now. I've done my prayers in the morning and meditating, and I'm going through the day, and I watch for when these selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear crop up. I don't wait till I get angry and I'm screaming and yelling, or I'm afraid and I'm in some scenario in my head. When it starts to feel, I start to feel a little angry, I start to feel a little fearful, I say, God, remove it. I ask God to remove it, because remember, now I'm with God. I'm in the world of the Spirit. I'm living with God. And if I ask God to remove it, it's going to go away. And so it says, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove it. Now, why would they say at once? Do they mean at once? Because an alcoholic doesn't want to stay angry or fearful. Then you get way out of the beam, and you get very far from God. So at once, if you do that, you don't get too far away. Does this make sense to people? It's very simple instructions. Then you discuss it with someone immediately. Why? So they can help you see it differently. So you don't have to stay disturbed, and you don't have to stay bothered. And they can help you see the truth of it, which is very similar to step 4 and 5, right? And step 4 is where you're going to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, right? And then you discuss it with somebody in step 5. And you're going to ask God to remove these feelings, these character defects, which is step 6 and 7. So you see steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 are right in these three lines. And then you make amends, which is 8, 9, quickly if you've harmed someone. Then they tell you to do this, and I suggest it works for me. But sometimes I forget, but it says you resolutely, with all my willpower and with all everything I have, I'm going to turn myself away from me to those I can help. You see, turn my thoughts to someone I can help. So they're telling you, when you start to see self come up and you get into self-centeredness, you stop, ask God to remove it, discuss it with someone, make amends and forgive, and then turn away from that crap in your head to how you can help somebody else. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's like 5 lines. And then it says, if you do that, love and tolerance is your code of living. And if you live loving and tolerant, and that's the way you be, your actions will be good. Does anybody think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
So this is a paragraph that I've memorized. I meditate on it every morning. And I can eat this page, but it still won't help me unless I do it. And so I try to do this all day long. I've gotten good at it. I can recognize when I'm off the beam pretty quickly now. I've gotten good at it. But in the beginning, I didn't know. And it's a lifetime practice. And it says, now are the 10-step promises. Now, it says, you have ceased fighting anything or anyone. So you've stopped fighting anything. What could be things that you're fighting? Your circumstances, the way you see things. You're not fighting, you're not angry, you're not afraid, and you're not fighting anything. You're at peace. Isn't that a great promise? And or anyone, and then even alcohol. So alcohol is not in the picture anymore. You're not even fighting it. It's gone. And so you're recovered. Remember, recovered is when you do not have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And they said in the big book, if you have a mind of a chronic alcoholic, then you can't see the truth about alcohol. And you have no power not to drink. But now, if you've had a relationship with God, you're in the world of the Spirit, your mind's not a chronic alcoholic. You've taken action so that you see things differently. And so it says, by this time, sanity will have returned. So you finally get your sanity back on page 84. Now, when you come in here, we're all insane, right? People took videos of tapes of our thinking when we come in here. Before you step into your first meeting, it would really be something. Because, and the bad thing about it is we believed everything we had in there. And so we were not seeing the world sanely, and we couldn't have sanity towards liquor, right? Why? Because we couldn't see the truth about alcohol right before we drank. And we knew it was insane, and then we drank, and then we said, well, how'd that happen? Well, it happened because we had no relationship with our Creator, and we had no power not to do that. So now you have power, you have sanity. And notice, you don't get sanity in AA by getting smart. You don't, it doesn't say you get sanity because I've gone to a lot of meetings, or I've read the big book, or I can quote page how it works. Sanity has been returned. It's been given to you by God. You get your sanity back with your relationship with God. So with God, you can see truth. Without God, you're on your own. And so it says, you seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, if liquor tempts you, remember it's in a bottle for God's sakes. It's not gonna jump out and strangle me. But if I see alcohol in a bottle and I'm tempted to drink it, because why? Because I'll think of what it'll do for me, right? And it says, if you're tempted, you're gonna recoil from it as from a hot flame. Anybody have a gas range where they have the flames? You don't go every day and put your finger in there, do you? Well, that's what we did when we were drinking. We go, it's not going to burn me this time. Oh, no, it's not going to burn me this time. It's, that's how insane we were. But we're going to recoil from it. Now, how does that relate it? It's back in one of these early chapters. It says, we couldn't see alcohol. It was like we kept putting our hands in the hot flame. I can't remember the page. And now they're saying you're going to recoil from it. Now, why do you recoil from it now? Because God's told you the truth. There's nothing in that bottle that's going to make your life better. There's nothing it can do for you that's better than already being with your higher power. 24? Good. And so you're going to recoil from it. It's for the hot flame. And it says we react sanely and normally. So you're going to react sanely and normally. And this is a word that people don't talk about much at meetings, but the word react is really important. Because it's how I react to things that determines my actions, right? So I'm going to react sanely and normally. And how does this happen? It happens automatically. See, I don't do anything in AA. What I do is I get rid of all the things that are blocking me from God. And when I let go of these things, then these things happen automatically. Anybody think that's a good idea? It's good, right? And it says, we will see that we have a new attitude towards liquor that has been given us. Notice the words here. Removed, given us, recoil. Those are all things that God gives us. And we do that by doing the work, and we have a relationship with our higher power. And it's just given us. And the attitude is that alcohol can't do anything for me. It has no power over me anymore. Isn't that great? And then it says, it just comes. No thought or effort, it just happens. And it says, that's the miracle. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle for an alcoholic to recoil from alcohol and to have power over it. But we have power over it only because we're connected to God. On my own, I still don't have any power. It says, I feel as though I've been placed by God. Think about it. I don't put myself there. I've been placed in a position of neutrality. God's put me in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Isn't that great? And you know, he's put me in a position of neutrality, safe and protected from me and my thinking. That's even a better promise. And I don't have to react with my resentment and fear anymore. I don't have to react with self-centeredness. And it says, it's not even been sworn off. The problem has been removed. Now, who removes the problem? God. And so this all relates to being in the world of the Spirit. This is the power you get from working the steps. So the recovered promises are the promises that come true when you've worked the steps and you're in a relationship with your Creator. no steps, no relationship with your Creator, these promises are not going to come true. And how do you get the relationship? You work the steps. And it's on page 85, which means you've done a lot of work. You've done all the work of steps 3 through 9, and you're living in step 10. It says it doesn't exist for us. And it says we are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. So your experience, if you've worked the steps, is that alcohol has been removed, it has no power over you, you're in a position of sanity towards it, and you're in a position of sanity towards your thinking. You can see when your thinking's starting to get off. Anybody have abnormal thinking in here? Anybody? Maybe one person? Okay, this is an unusual group here for those listening. And it's their experience. Now, I can't argue with their experience, so what this word is very powerful. Because what they're telling me is their experience, when they did all the work up to page 85, this is what happened to them. Now, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with their experience. So what they're telling you is AA is do an experiment. The experiment, it says, do everything they tell you to do up to page 85 and see if this comes true. Now, why do people drink again? Because they're not in the world of the spirit. And they don't have a recovered mind. And they don't have power. Now, here's the line that really means so much. It says, this is how I react, so long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. So what they're telling you, and this is powerful stuff, you don't hear a lot at meetings, is the whole deal is to get yourself in fit spiritual condition. And when you're in fit spiritual condition, you're going to react in a way that makes sense to your life. You're going to react sanely and normally to alcohol, and you're not going to be fighting anything or anyone. Anybody think these are good promises? Now, the key is to be in fit spiritual condition. And then it's how you react as a result of that. Now, there's always a warning in AA. They give you all this good news. This is good news, isn't it? Very good, right? But the bad news is that fit spiritual condition can be very fleeting. It's a moment by moment deal. Now, you get in a fairly good fit spiritual condition by doing steps 4 through 9. But each day, living in the now with God, you can get off base. And if you get off base, you don't have God and you're not in fit spiritual condition, then you're going to react poorly. So notice the paragraph before, they're telling me to watch for selfishness, anxiety, resentment, and fear. Why? Because then I'm not in fit spiritual condition when these are dominating me. And before they crop up, as soon as they crop up, I want to be done with them so I can stay in fit spiritual condition. And then it gives us our instructions. Now, what does this have to do with the spiritual axiom that if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me? Well, because if I'm disturbed, I'm not in fit spiritual condition. So if you want to know how you're doing each day, are you disturbed or not? It doesn't matter what you're disturbed about, because if you're disturbed, you're not in fit spiritual condition. So what they're telling you is that you never have to get disturbed at all. Well, how can that happen? Look what they're doing to me. Isn't that ridiculous? These people didn't live my life, right? But you don't have to be disturbed, because you're only disturbed because the way you're seeing whatever's happening. And you choose to be bothered by whatever's happening. And you can make it a situation or you can make it a problem. And if you're with God, it becomes a situation. If you're back in self, it's a problem. And remember, the problems are removed. So the problem that I see is removed. It's just a situation. Something can happen to you. Could be anything. And you'll say, boy, that's bad. Anybody ever say that? Well, they say it's bad. Well, who told you it's bad? You did. Well, let's say the stock market goes down 1,000 points. I might think that's bad. So who told me it's bad? I did. Now, what actually happened? The stock market just went down 1,000 points. Now, if I didn't have the TV on and I didn't know about it, would I be any worse? You see, and it's just a situation. Any of these things can happen. You give a label to it. So the spiritual tools we learn in AA is how to take any situation that we get bothered by and we put a label on it and to make it into a situation with God. So we step back and we say, God, this is just a situation. Now, does that sound like any prayer we've ever heard of? We said it tonight, didn't we? God, give me the serenity. So you want to, if you're in serenity and God gives it to you, you're in fit spiritual condition. And then whatever's happening, you'll be able to say, I can accept this or I can change it. And you have to be in fit spiritual condition to be able to do the serenity prayer. And how do you get in fit spiritual condition? You ask God and he gives you serenity. So serenity is another term for fit spiritual condition. Because when you're in serenity, you're going to react different. Anybody ever get really bothered in a rage? You don't react serenely, do you? And so you're not in fit spiritual condition. And so you have to learn that you're all day long, you're going to be gets disturbed and how you're going to get undisturbed. Now in the big book, in the what we read last week, they tell us there are a few things we're supposed to do when we're disturbed. It says one, first of all, they said there's no justified anger for alcoholics. Our anger was always justified. It's never justified. And then they say when we're disturbed and we see something that's bothering us, it says what we need is self-restraint. Now, what do they mean by that? I'm going to restrain myself, my self-centeredness, the way I react. And I'm going to ask God to give me serenity. So I'm going to pause, and I'm going to say, I'm upset here. God, give me some self-restraint here, and help me react positively to whatever's happening. And then it says, it has a top priority. And then it says you're supposed to discuss it with someone else. And then you're supposed to forgive or make amends. And so this is how you try to live each day. Does this sound like something that's worthwhile? It's a lot better than the other way of watching all day long through your self-centered glasses and then reacting and getting bothered by everything that's happening. And so we have two pairs of glasses that we have every day. We're given our self-centered glasses and we're given God-centered glasses. And when we're in the world of the Spirit, we have God-centered glasses on. And we can see things the way they really are. And when we are self-centered, we don't see them that way. So when we start to get disturbed, we take the self-centered glasses off and we put on God-centered glasses. Now we all have the two pairs of glasses. And so what's my responsibility? To put the right pair on. God won't change the glass. He won't take the self-centered glasses off. He'll let you go down that road and make a complete miserable day in life for yourself. But if you take the self-centered glasses off and you say, God, help me see this differently. Come into my life. Give me your power. Put the God-centered glasses on, then things are changed. Is this? And so these two pages have meant so much to me. And now here's the warning. They tell you they tell you how to live all day long, right? And then they give you the recovery promises. And then it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. Now, if you let up on the spiritual program of action, you're not going to be in fit spiritual condition. And rest on our laurels. Laurels is what you did yesterday. You'll say, I've been sober for 10 years. I've got all these coins. I'm Mr. AA. I'm great. I know how to live. And then you're completely disturbed, completely upset, because you're not doing the step today. What I did yesterday won't help me today. If I did prayer and meditation yesterday and I had a great day, I wasn't very disturbed, it won't help me today. I have to constantly seek to be in fit spiritual condition. Now it says we're headed for trouble if we rest in our laurels. What they're telling me is if I don't do what the paragraphs 84 and 85 tell me to do, then I'm headed for trouble. And it says, for alcohol is a subtle foe. Foe's bad, by the way. It means mortal enemy. And we read how it works. Anybody ever read how it works? We heard it tonight. It says, alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Isn't that something? It's a liquid in a bottle. But it's cunning, baffling, powerful in my mind, what it can do for me. And without help, it's too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That was God. And guess what they say? May you find him now, in the now. And it doesn't tell you and how it works. Wait 6 months. You got to find him right now, because without God right now, you have no power to live. And that ties in here on page 85. It says alcohol is a subtle foe. And they tell me I'm not cured of alcoholism. Sorry. Cured means all evidence of the disease has been removed. When I'm recovered and I'm in fit spiritual condition, I still have alcoholism, but I have a power in my life to treat it. Does this make sense? And so I'm never cured of alcoholism, but I get a daily reprieve. Now, reprieve is stay of execution. Notice the words they use here. Mortal foe, and I get a reprieve from being executed contingent on the maintenance of a fit spiritual condition. See how it all ties together? So the whole deal is to be in fit spiritual condition all the time. None of us are perfect. None of us are there all the time. And that's why on the next page, we're going to read at another time, when we retire at night, it says we constructively review our day. And you look at your day where you were selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid. And so we're going to look at that the next couple weeks. And it says, every day is a day when I must. Notice it says must. Is must an important word? It doesn't say every day is a day when I might want to. It says I must carry a vision of God's will to all of our activities. And what do they mean by a vision of God's will to all of our activities? God's a vision of how God wants me to be. And how God wants me to be. And then if I be that way, then my actions will be the result. Now in the big book, they talk about love, patience, kindness, and tolerance. And if I be love, patient, kind, and tolerant, then my day's going to be good. My life's going to be good. On page 77, I believe, I got it wrong. I'm getting Alzheimer's. It's page 83. Before the promises, they give us a warning or a suggestion. It says, I clean house every day in the first paragraph with my family. But what I do is I clean house with the whole world every day. And I ask every morning for God, my Creator, to show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. That's the vision I carry. You can carry any vision you want. It's your vision. But I carry patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. I want to carry that into all my activities. And when I'm disturbed, I'm not carrying love, patience, tolerance, and kindness into my day. And then it says on page 84, we read it, love and tolerance of others is our code. So for me, Ryan's not here, but we just would say, when anything was bothering us, we'd say LPTKCC, love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consideration, compassion. Whatever was going on, we'd say LPTKCC. You know, his ex-wife's driving him crazy, LPTKCC. Somebody at work's driving me crazy. LPTKCC. It works because it gets me out of Michael's way of seeing things. And that's the way God sees things. And it says, these are thoughts which must go with me constantly. So here's where you get your mind back, is on page 85. You can use your mind to carry the thoughts all day long of God's vision, of God's will for you. You see it? And that's how you're supposed to think it. It says you can exercise your willpower along this line, all you wish. It's the proper use of the will. Tell me these three paragraphs write the most powerful thing I think that was ever written. It's the proper use of my will to exercise my power to how I can best serve God, not me. So it ties all together, doesn't it? And so these three paragraphs, I don't think you can go over them enough. We started these meetings in February when I started recording, and we were on Wednesday night. We were on step 10, so if you get to Wednesday, if you click on Wednesday on the podcast, you could see step 9, 10, and 11 that I did then. And I did one on how to live the spiritual life, and you might want to listen to that. I tied together the promises in step 9 with steps 10 and 11. So we're going to close with that tonight, and next week we'll pick up where we left on page 85. So I hope this was helpful.